Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning. Merry Christmas. Well, or almost, right? Almost Merry Christmas. Welcome to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake on the last Sunday of Advent, the church where we're wanting to know God, to love God, and to serve God. If you're visiting with us today, we are so glad you're here, and we want you to know that if you stop by our Welcome Center, which is out there just in the coffee hour space, we have a lovely gift bag for you that includes handmade items made by people in our congregation. I'm Pastor Lynn, your associate pastor. Pastor John will be bringing the message as he helps us think a little bit more about what we can learn from those shepherds. Our worship leaders today are Gwen and Anna Atarian, Bruce Stark, and the Toby family, as well as our, wondrous adult choir, directed by Susan Kimball. So, whether you are a visitor or you're a regular attender, please complete the connection cards today. You'll find them in the bulletin, and you can sign up there for opportunities that are listed on the back, and then place those cards along with any prayer requests that are in your life right now. Isn't it something that at the holiday season, doesn't it seem like the things mount up and there's a lot that we need to pray about? We want to pray with you. So, write that on the prayer cards that are right in the pew behind in front of you. And then we will do our best to support you on your faith journey. If there are any children who are still here in the sanctuary and who would like to go to Sunday school, go ahead and head down. I think a lot are already downstairs, but you can go anytime now. And then we have a few announcements. Let's see. First one, Tuesday. What is Tuesday? Christmas Eve, right? Tuesday is Christmas Eve, and we are having, this congregation is having five worship services. All of them will include Holy Communion. There'll be candles in some form. The first one is at 11 o'clock a.m. here at this campus, and that's a service designed especially for kids where our candles are replaced with glow sticks, but it's a great service for adults and kids to come to. It's a lot of fun. Then at 2 o'clock over at the Whitmore Lake campus, if you would like an intimate service, that is a great place to go. It's beautifully decorated. It will be lovely. Then 5 o'clock here, band-led Christmas service with the Christmas carols, but in, sometimes with a little more beat. Then at 7 o'clock and 9 o'clock p.m. here at Brighton, are our two traditional worship services for Christmas Eve with handbells and choir and candles and all the things that we all love. So come, or you could even come to more than one. We would be glad to see you. The next thing I want to share with you is real important, because next Sunday, the Sunday after Christmas, there's only going to be one worship service, and it's going to be at 10 o'clock. So if you come looking for a 9:30 service, you'll just get to hang out for a while, so it won't be too bad for you. The 11 o'clock people are going to have to remember to come early. 10 o'clock here, and it's going to be the praise band is going to be leading us in a whole bunch of music. Then there's going to be a message from our bishop, and I'll be here, and it's going to be lovely. All right, then We do have some things starting in the new year that I just want to mention to you. There's three new groups. There's really more than three, but three I want to highlight today. One is starting on January 15th, Deacon Loretta is leading a disciple class, which is if you really want to get to know the Bible, and I hear this from people when I talk with them, they say, I really want to study the Bible more. This is the place to do it. It's going to be on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. starting January 15th. I think you can sign up on the back of the connection card. Starting January 8th, Pastor John is doing something called You Are Here, and it's you leading it, John? Who's leading it? Oh, Kara. Kara's leading it. Kara Shule. And it's about understanding race. That's a really important topic, and here's a chance to dig in the new year. And then finally, there's a group that I'm going to be leading, and we're going to have an introductory session for people who might want to think about it. It's a prayer workshop specifically for people who are currently or have not too long ago dealt with cancer or some other illness in your life, and you want a chance to sit and learn a little bit about some interesting and very interesting new ways to pray and to grow closer to God. It's not a cancer support group. It is a place to learn more about prayer. So, I just invite you to come. Come to the trial one and see if you like it. All right, and that starts January 15th. And now I invite you all to stand as we sing Angels from the Realm of Glory, verses 1 through 3.
You can be seated. Good morning. Today, we light the candle of love, a flame that represents the boundless and unshakable love of God revealed in Jesus Christ. Your love is patient and kind, never failing and always enduring. It is the love that seeks us out and meets us where we are, and calls us to something greater.
As this candle burns, may its light remind us that love is not just an emotion, but an action, a way of living that reflects your heart. Teach us to love as you have loved us, sacrificially and unconditionally. Help us to carry the warmth of this love into a world that desperately needs it. Lord Jesus, Emmanuel, let your love shine through us today.
Let us pray. God, the humble, lowly, we rejoice in shepherds' awe-filled response to the angels' good news. As they ran after him to witness your glory, may we run toward you with joy. As we worship today, echo their praises.
Glory to God in the highest. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Today's scripture is from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. Now in that same region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find the child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. And Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Amen. Thanks so much, Anna, for reading the scriptures. I just want to brag about Anna. She's been at the church like all week since coming back home from college. She was here for the UMW luncheon on Thursday, the Christmas celebration. She was here helping us with the funeral on Friday, and then she went and sang at Greenfield Village with the choir. You guys sounded awesome, those of you who participated. I also tried to sing. I did not sound so awesome, but it was fun to go. And now she's here reading the scriptures. Amen. Thank you so much for reading the scriptures. As we gather here today, I want to celebrate that we're talking about the shepherds, and probably you've heard those passages, those scriptures from Luke chapter 2, and they probably feel pretty familiar to you and maybe sacred. And so I'm going to maybe potentially mess with you a little bit, because I've found a new translation of scripture that I just love. I can't stop reading it. It sort of reminds me of when The Message came out and people were just like, well, how do they do Psalm 23? How do they translate Genesis 1? How do you get into it? This is called the Gen Z Bible. And so I'm going to invite you to hear these words from the scripture, the same passage that Pastor Lynn just read, but perhaps with some fresh new insights from a new generation. So there were these shepherds hanging out in the fields, you know, just chilling with the sheep. During the night, hashtag night shift, hashtag sheep squad. Yo, suddenly an angel from the Lord shows up and starts shining God's glory all around them. And let me tell you, they were totally scared. The angel was chill and said, don't trip. I got good news that'll bring mad joy to everyone, you dig? Yo, listen up. Today in the city of David, a mad savior is born, like totally epic. Yeah, I'm talking about Christ the Lord, fam. Listen up, fam. Here's how you'll know it's legit. You'll spot a baby all snug in a manger, wrapped up in some soft baby threads. Then out of nowhere, the angel brought along a whole squad from heaven, hyping up and giving mad props to God. And they were like, praise God, high vibes all the way. And on earth, let's spread peace and love to everyone. So, like right after the angels were like, peace out, and went back to heaven, the shepherds were like, yo, let's go check out this crazy thing that the Lord told us about going down in Bethlehem. So they rushed over and found Mary, Joseph, and the cute little baby just chilling in the manger. And when they saw what had happened, they spread the word about the amazing things that were told about this awesome child, you know? And everybody who heard it was mind blown by what the shepherds were saying, like seriously. But Mary straight up held on to all these things and low-key thought about them in her heart. And the shepherds were totally hyped when they went back, shouting out and giving mad props to God for everything that they had seen and heard, just like they were told. Hashtag praise emoji, hashtag on fire emoji. This is the word of God for the people of God, for which we say, thanks be to God. Will you join me in a time of prayer? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who called the shepherds in that evening. Amen. Well, I imagine some of you are probably like, wow, Pastor John, that was pretty sacrilegious. Way to mess with my story of the Christmas, you know, advent of Christ, the birth of the Messiah. And others of you are like, Googling it already. Like, where is this Bible? Let me look into Gen Z. The best part is, in the back of this Bible, there is a glossary of terms. So if you are interested in learning a little bit more about what the next generation is saying, you can turn to the back, and it's almost like good news for all of us parents who are like, what in the world is my son talking about? I have no idea what these words could even mean, but there's a glossary of terms, which is good news for adults. But more importantly, the scripture being retold and reframed and reshaped and retranslated brings it a brand new modern perspective. I want to tell you this about the shepherds. I imagine that their life was probably fairly boring and mundane. If you've been around sheep, you know that they are not the brightest animals in God's animal kingdom. They oftentimes have been known to just follow the leader wherever the leader goes. If the leader walks off a cliff, literally all of the rest of the sheep will just walk right off following the leader, one right after another, even to their own death. And can you imagine what it would be like in the desert with all of the difficulties of living in a climate that's hot by day, the sun beaming down on you, causing you to be dehydrated, maybe not well, to going into the evening where there's no ceiling and all of the heat that was accumulated during the daytime just evaporates into the evening sky. But in the midst of that, these shepherds, who were probably folks who were marginalized, and it's one of the things that I hold on to most about the Christmas story, these folks don't tend to be the folks who are high visibility or of significant importance in the ancient world. Third shift workers, evening shift workers, they were oftentimes marginalized or ostracized, kept to the far fringes of society because it was their job to watch these shepherds and the sheep in the evening. And yet these are some of the folks who are standing in the middle of the night with their eyes fixed on the heavens, on the stars, who are amongst the very first people to come to the awareness that the Messiah was coming into the world. What I take in terms of significance out of this particular story is that this message of God being birthed into the world is one that has cosmic repercussions for absolutely everybody in the world. It doesn't matter whether you are sitting high in society and you are, you know, enjoying life and everything is up and to the right and you're experiencing all of the blessings that the world has to offer, or if you can relate to these shepherds, these folks who frankly might not have a particularly wide friendship circle. These folks are not the folks that get the first invitations to the birthday parties, to the family gatherings. These are folks who are on the fringes. Oh, no, he can't come. He's always working in the middle of the night. He couldn't join us. He probably gets left off the guest invitation list. These shepherds are the folks that oftentimes find themselves on the very far fringes of society. There are some biblical scholars who suggest these are some of the guys who probably would not pass the background check or the psychological evaluation. It took a very special kind of person to put your own body in harm's way, standing out with the sheep in the middle of the night where perhaps robbers and thieves might be interested in taking the sheep from the flock, or you can imagine there being predators in the desert that might be interested in attacking either the sheep or the shepherds, putting their lives in harm's way. These were the folks that God felt it was important to announce the birth of Jesus to. I don't know if you spent a lot of time looking at the stars. This was one of the things that my dad loved to do in our childhood. We'd be camping in national parks all across the country. But I remember one particular night when we were traveling with him as kids and he woke us all up in the middle of the night. And you're just like, you know, rubbing your eyes and exhausted from having hiked probably the day before. And my dad woke us up and he goes, "You guys, you got to see this." And he grabs us all. We're like in our pajamas. We walk outside. Who knows? There could be like grizzly bears out there or anything else. And he grabs us and he says, "Look up." And we're standing there. And what we observed that particular evening, this is long before Elon Musk's Starlink with satellites going over the skies every couple seconds, but in that time, there were shooting stars just blasting, it seemed like, in every direction through the night sky. It wasn't like they were continuous, but if you looked hard enough, you could just see shooting star after shooting star after shooting star. It's amazing when you're in a pitch dark place and there isn't light pollution from the city, all of the incredible things that you can see in the sky. And I imagine these shepherds night after night watching the same, frankly, stupid animals in the field eating their grass day after day, making obnoxious noise, obnoxious smells. They probably had a fair amount of time on their hands to study the stars in the sky, to observe what's there, what's not there. And so it probably would have taken a fair amount to catch their attention with these evening festivities of the stars in the sky. And yet that particular night, they were observant enough, they were able to see what God was doing, something brand new, miraculous, something that would announce the birth of Jesus Christ himself, and they had their eyes open enough to see it. And I imagine that as you go through all of the rigmarole of preparing for what's about to go down on Wednesday, as you get yourself all worked up, or as the new Gen Z version of the Bible would say, as you're getting yourself hyped up for the holidays, you'll experience, right, the rigmarole of running around. And I've been doing this with you because I'm not the kind of person that can go into a store and immediately identify the exact right gift. I sometimes go a second time and a third time, and I've frequented nearly every shopping store in this entire city. It feels like I think I'm on my third lap of all of them. And as you go through all of this, it's easy to miss the signs of God's presence right here in our own community. Have any of you guys spent any time in downtown Brighton at night? and seeing all the Christmas lights everywhere. And frankly, like when there's not a lot going on, they actually have Christmas music playing in downtown Brighton. I now am convinced it's 24 hours a day. As one night I came over to the church and I could hear the speakers like blasting it into my office, even as Mike Tooman was practicing at like 11 o'clock at night on a Sunday. I walked from outside hearing Christmas music to in here and Mike was still playing. Have you noticed that? All of the work that Brighton City employees have gone through to make sure all of those Christmas lights, the candy cane lights, the Christmas tree light at the end of Main Street, all of the businesses that have taken time out of their schedule to put those Christmas lights up, it's beautiful. And you're standing there and there's a fire going over by the mill pond. And I remember driving through there one night just thinking like, this is part of the Christmas magic. I can sense the presence of God here. I can sense the presence of God in my daughter, who this morning woke up and she goes, "Dad, how many days are there till Christmas?" And I was like, "Well, there's today, and then there's tomorrow, and then there's Christmas Eve." And she goes, "No!" And I was like, "What, Lydia?" She's like, "Dad, I'm one day ahead on my Advent calendar." And every day she's been opening up the little drawer, and there's a chocolate inside. And I'm like, it's hard to imagine how that could have happened, right? I wonder how you got one day ahead. One day, you took two. Or her brother. That's right, Brian. It very well could be her brother. Last night, my brother came in from Oklahoma with his wife, and we sat down to play a game together as a family, which is something that we do a lot of. And it was just neat to see my nephew who was there, and my sister, and my dad, and my mom, and my brother, and his wife. And we'll all get together later on today for our family Christmas, because it's hard when you get, you know, live in multiple different states to get together. But there was just this moment where I looked around and recognized that the Reynolds family gene of game playing was very alive and well, passed from one generation to the next, as my nephew was strategizing about how to beat his grandfather in the game that we were playing. Highly competitive, highly contentious, a whole lot of trash talking, which I won't repeat to you at this point, about who is going to win the game. And I thought, you know, God is inbreaking in the midst of this moment. I don't know what your moments will be during this season of Advent. Maybe they're ordinary, perhaps they're extraordinary. Maybe you'll experience some sort of miraculous thing that's taking place right in the midst of your ordinary everyday life, but I'm convinced of this with all of my heart. It would be totally possible for you to zip right past it and to not acknowledge that something extraordinary is happening. And I think about these shepherds, and yeah, they were probably, hundreds, I imagine, of shepherds out caring for these sheep, because at the end of the day, many of those sheep would often end up being the very sheep that were sacrificed at the temple to atone for people's sins. There may have been hundreds of sheep, many flocks out there, each and every evening, and yet it was these particular shepherds who had their eyes on the skies enough to be able to see that God was doing something new. Can you imagine all of the other folks who didn't show up that night? Maybe they saw something peculiar and they're like, "Nah, that's probably scientifically explainable somehow. Oh, I think I'm hearing voices in my head. Maybe I should go talk to somebody about that." You know, it's like, but these shepherds had the courage to answer God's call in their life, to mark a particular moment that was special, that was unique, that was extraordinary, and they were able to show up in the manger because their eyes were open and their hearts were open and they were listening. They were tuned in. They were dialed in to what God was doing, and they recognized that even though for most purposes that night probably looked like thousands of nights that they had experienced before it, that particular night was different. And it's kind of like reading Luke chapter 2 over and over again in the same translation every year. You read it. Some people have it committed to memory, and you're just like, I could get up there and recite it myself because I've watched Peanuts, right? Like before, I've seen it. I've watched that be recited. And then all of a sudden, a brand new translation comes in that speaks to a whole different group of people that by and largely have been absent or not connected to the church. As we move forward into the future, I hope that we can continue to speak the language, the vernacular of the people that we're trying to reach, that we're trying to connect with as we talk in the language of the Generation Z and the generations that come behind it. I imagine that it's not totally dissimilar than all of a sudden the shepherds being able to be communicated in a language that they would understand. A star was all it took for them. An announcement of a birth. The proclamation that God is doing something new and exciting in a totally different way. Jesus' birth for me is an announcement that our hope is not in vain. That these four candles that we light every single Advent season to continue to drive out the darkness and despair that exists in the world, that the fear and anxiety that people are feeling, the reality of grief and human suffering that is all too present in the headlines all around us. The birth of Jesus doesn't negate the reality of human suffering, but it does allow us to have hope even when things seem the darkest. I'm ready to announce this to everyone who lives in Michigan who has endured like the last 14 days in a row of cloudy weather. We have just been through the longest night, y'all. The days are about to get longer. And if you're like me and you woke up this morning and you looked up, you're like, behold, there's a star in the sky. I can't believe it. It's out there. I haven't seen it in a fortnight. Behold, there's still light shining in the darkness, even on these cold, dreary Michigan gray days. I hope, like the shepherds, you'll take stock of ordinary moments that become extraordinary. There are moments when the light is breaking through the darkness, and at the end of the day, the despair, the fear, the consternation don't get to have the last word. Thanks be to God that God is still speaking in new languages to new people, that God is still engaging us, that even myself can pick up a passage of scripture and read it and just be so excited about a biblical translation where there are emojis in it. I can't stop reading it. I'm like addicted. Maybe God is speaking to us in new, extraordinary, and yet incredibly ordinary ways. Thanks be to God for the shepherd who had their eyes open and their hearts open to hear. Amen.
Come down. Nice job. Thanks. God is good. All the time. As we enter a time of prayer, I want to call your attention to the two prayer quilts. We have one for Alice Karzag, and we have a retie for Jean. On your way out of the church, please stop, tie a knot, say a prayer, sign the card, and let them know that we're surrounding them with love and the warmth of the quilts. Now, inspired by John, I was sitting over there rewriting my prayer. So, holy and big guy up in heaven, hanging with the angels, tripping and no. I'm a boomer. I'm sorry. I can't do that. Holy and precious God, creator of all things, we come before you this morning to praise you, to give you thanks, to feel your love. We want to keep our eyes, our ears, and our hearts open to your word, to your love, to your joy, and to your blessings. We give praise and thanks for those that teach us, those that help us to learn to live as Jesus lived, to remember those that are struggling and wrestling, looking for help, those that are struggling at home, struggling with damaged and broken relationships, those that are struggling with health issues, those that have lost loved ones, those that are struggling with financial burdens. Help them to understand that in their time of need, your love is always there for them. We ask your blessings on those in need of your strength, your love, and your hope. Father, we ask you to bless our quilt recipients and give them strength, courage, patience, and faith to face the weeks and months ahead. We ask your blessings on their family, friends, and the medical personnel helping them. May these prayer quilts be a constant reminder of God's love and hope and of the thoughts and prayers of those who tie knots and say prayers for them. May our prayers wrap them as a sign of your love, as they are also wrapped in the warmth and the love of the quilts. We give thanks and ask blessings on those in the service industry that will continue to work in spite of the holiday season. The police, fire department, hospital workers, first responders, and all those that will continue to work to help make our lives easier and safer. Father, thank you for the time and the blessings we'll have throughout the holiday season and the opportunity to spend time with family and friends, loved ones and neighbors, as well as travel mercies for those traveling to spend time with their loved ones. We ask your blessings on those that spend time alone this season and ask that you help us show them your love that might make this time a little easier for them and show them that your love is always there for them and that they can find their joy in you. Lord, we ask your blessings and guidance for all in need and in our communities, in our state, across the nation, and across the world that have suffered due to conflicts going on in our lives, near and far from our homes. We pray for those that think violence is a way to handle things and pray that they find the help that they need to avoid anger. We also pray for the victims of that violence and hope they find peace in their time of need. In times of need and doubt, the disciples went to Jesus for comfort and strength. May we learn from the disciples that Jesus is our source of comfort and strength as well. O God, in this time of worship, we give thanks that you are ever with us. We thank you for the joy you give us. We strive to be always grateful for all you give us, even though sometimes we think we can handle it all on our own. Sometimes we take your goodness for granted. Now we come to you with joy in our hearts. looking to you as we offer our concerns and petitions, as well as our praises of you in this time of silent prayer and meditation. Now we come to you as your children, seeking to learn, seeking to love, seeking to share in the name of your holy and precious Son, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And don't forget, God be loving on you, and that's all you can do about it. Ain't nothing going to change it. Amen.
You know, when those shepherds were working that night shift, they were hungry, and they may not even have realized it, but they were hungry for some good news. And in our world today, there are a lot of people who are hungry for good news of all kinds. People who are hungry for food, people who are hungry to hear a word of peace, a word of hope. And with our offerings, we try to bring that good news. So as the ushers are moving among you, you can do a part too as you share your time, your talents, your gifts, your service, and your witness. Thanks be to God.
Emmanuel, God with us, we are grateful for your presence among us. Help us to see where you are calling out to us to be your disciples and equip us to respond. We pray that these offerings will serve the mission and ministry of this church to grow disciples for you. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
have this opportunity to testify, just as the shepherds did, about the places that you see God at work in our midst. I want to tell you that I've seen God at work in our midst in a variety of places in our community over the last couple of weeks. I hope that you have seen God at work in our midst just through driving through downtown Brighton. Has anybody done that in the evening with all of the beautiful Christmas lights on all the buildings? Beautiful job to all the city employees who help make this place feel extra special and beautiful around the holidays. I see God watching Susan direct the choir at Greenfield Village. She's literally jumping up and down, which is in part to maintain some kind of body warmth and in part to keep us all enthusiastic as we're trying to sing Christmas carols in front of Greenfield Village visitors. I've seen God talking to my daughter, who somehow is one day ahead in her Advent calendar. Every time she opens it up, she gets another chocolate and she goes, "Dad, I only have one left." I'm like, hard to imagine how that happened. I've seen God walking in and amongst you, hearing stories about your life and your experiences of the divine. I've seen God in a translation of scripture that probably won't hit home with about 93% of this room. But for somebody, that new word was exactly what they needed to be able to experience the birth of Jesus in a way that made sense to them. God isn't done doing new stuff. Thanks be to God that there are new words to be spoken. There are new ways of telling an ancient story so that everybody can hear it, so that everyone can experience it. You are invited to the manger as well, so that you can experience the birth of Jesus in a brand new way. Let us go out into the world dancing like the shepherds, singing with our loudest voices, experiencing the joy of Christmas. If you're traveling this holiday, may God's grace and peace go with you. If you're here, I pray you'll join us at 11 a.m., 2 p.m., 5 p.m., 7 p.m., 9 p.m., or online from the comfort of your own pajamas. Thanks be to God for choices. May you go out with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.